Peter came, now had him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I will be whole. But Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made me whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour, from that very moment, from that very time. I want to talk a little bit about our desire to be made whole. You know, I don't know anyone who's ever wanted a partial healing. And when it comes to physical sickness or things that are wrong with us, you know, no one's ever said, well, Lord, if you just heal me half of it, it'll be good enough. You know, if you'll just take away half the cancer cells, I'll be satisfied. The blind man, you know, if you'll just give me back 50% of my vision, I'll be satisfied. The man with the withered arm, you know, 75%, that would be good enough. No, we won't. Complete healing to be made whole. And this woman was made whole and then restored, was saved from perishing. And today what we're talking about is salvation to be made whole. The minister made the comment, he said, you know, no woman has ever come home, you know, half pregnant. There's no such thing as that. You know, you're either completely or you're not. There's no such thing as, I guess, being halfway saved. You're either saved or unsaved. To be whole should always be our desire. Now, there came a day when the same offer was made to us. That is the offer to be made whole. And just like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, we also answered that call from God. God called and we responded. We said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. The Son of Man came to save that which was lost. And that, you know, we fit into that category. Now, I want you to think back to the time when you made that critical decision in your personal life to be baptized. What specific thing or things did you ask for? You know, maybe you can recall some of the things that you said or up to that point of being baptized. You know, you thought, well, I have things that I'm struggling with. I have, well, sin. You know, all right, sin, it comes short of the glory of God. I understand that. But what specific things did you want to be made free from? What areas did you want to be made whole in? Specific things. Or was it, you know, Lord, I just have this little problem here, and I need salvation in this area, and I hope you'll take care of it. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, his book, he talks about this step that we made at baptism. To answer that call, he said that it's like inviting God over to your home to fix a few things that's wrong with it. You know, you invite God over and you say, Lord, I got a leaky faucet. The roof is leaking a little bit, and I need you to come over there and fix that. And God comes into your home, and he fixes the leaky faucet, he fixes the leaky roof. But during the night, he's tearing down walls. And before you know it, he's torn down, you know, this section of your home, and he's building a lean on it. And before you know it, he's building you a mansion that you didn't even ask for. And you know, you respond and you say, well, David, what I didn't ask for all this, I just want you to fix the leaking faucet. I just want you to fix the leak in the roof. I didn't expect all this other stuff that you had been involved in my life. And the reason, of course, is Lewis, that's the reason he's done this is because he's going to live in this mansion. The reason he's totally destroying your home and rebuilding it, he's going to live there in that temple. Now, it's not, again, we're going to get back to that day of baptism. It's not the things that we ask for that give us a problem, or it gives us a problem. Because if I go to God and I say, well, Lord, I've got this, and I've got this sin I'm struggling with, and I need to be free, we're on the same level. You know, God wants me to be free from that sin. I want to be free from that sin. So it's not the things that we ask for that gives us a problem. It's the things that we do not ask for later on that gives us the problem. It's the things that we didn't expect God to reveal. It's the things that we didn't bargain for. Now, how many of you have ever had a part-time job? in a part-time job. You get a job, you just want enough money, maybe extra money or whatever. But, you know, it's not going to pay all your bills or anything like that. You just got this part-time job. Well, sometimes we can be guilty of how much we desire part-time salvation. A part-time salvation. My concept of God saving me is one thing, and God's concept of saving me is something altogether. It's completely different. I've got my problems that I'm aware of, but God sees the whole picture. And God sees reality. You know, from head to toe, everything. Sometimes we desire something less than salvation. Something less to be made whole. How much do we really need and desire salvation? In your personal life, how much do you desire salvation? And we look at all areas of one's life. Let's take the area of joy. You know, God, when it comes to joy, I need salvation. You know, I'm not that happy. I'm all in an emotional roller coaster, up and down. I got good days and bad days, but I need salvation when it comes to joy. Or your work. You know, maybe you're going to work and you say, you know, you're not really excited about it. Then you go and say, God, I need salvation in my work. Maybe you're confronting something, or it's a fear of man or something. And Lord, I need salvation in this area. I fear what people think of me. I need salvation in this area. Maybe it's your marriage. You know, maybe it's having problems. But then you go to God and say, God, I need salvation in my marriage. Everything about me needs your salvation. My thought life. My heart. You might have a heart full of anger and resentment. I need salvation. Loneliness. And he said, oh, you look at the four corners, the four walls that surround you. Loneliness. I need salvation when it comes to my loneliness. Emptiness. And it's an empty life. I need your salvation. Because I'm empty, Lord. Purpose in life. Maybe your life has no purpose, no rhyme or reason. And I need your salvation to get a meaningful life, to have purpose in my life. You know, we only realize our need for salvation when we're in trouble. You know, you let the person arise and here comes the army ready to kill you. And you say, Lord, I need you, Lord. I'm going to call on you now. But how about every single day of your life, Lord, I need your salvation. Prepare to tell wingtip and wingtip. Everything about me needs your salvation. Or maybe it's like the woman, the minister that was talking to the woman about salvation. She said, well, all that was settled long ago. You know, way back there where I made that decision, that's all been settled. Well, not really. Not really. But people look at us. Are they able to look at you and say, now that's salvation? Or do they think something different? Do they let them get confused? Are they able to say, that's salvation? That's a good example right there of salvation. I remember reading a book about a story about a missionary who went over to China. The missionary actually built the man up, and he was serious about, quote, saving souls. And he was a missionary who went over to China. He had, I think, four children and a wife. Took his family with him. He lived in a little tent hut, or whatever, mud hut, or something like that. Three of his children died over there. You know, he had this obsession with he had a love for the Chinese people. But the story is always, that story, you know, I don't think you sacrifice your family for the gospel's sake. And to me, that always, there's a warning that says, that man, while he made an area of wrong for the Chinese, had it right. But he needed salvation in this other area when it comes to his family. He desperately needed salvation. Because he was messing up big time right there. And so people look at this example and think, well, he's going to, you know, boy, God's really going to be happy with him. Well, you know, God may get across the head with him before. And make him up when it comes to this other area. The need for salvation is in all areas of one's life. You know, human beings are complex beings. And the more complex your life is, an end to the whole thing. Big science and simplicity. It was nice. But, you know, that's what salvation is all about. So the scripture comes along and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And Jesus said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He adds the element of the mind there. So we have a heart. I mean, I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my might, all my mind. And I'd like to add also your body, because your body is the temple of God. I mean, it's just sort of the instrument that takes care of salvation. Your heart, you know, the heart can be desperately wicked. It needs salvation. Your soul needs salvation. There's not a part of you that does not need salvation. Not a kid, nothing about you that doesn't need salvation in every aspect of your life. So when C.S. Lewis talks about this, you know, this tearing down of this old home and rebuilding, he talks about a complete transformation to be made whole. Now, what is salvation? Well, that's such a complicated subject there. Or people have deliberately complicated that subject. Just what is salvation? Well, I'd like to go through several scriptures to expand our view of salvation. First one is Psalms 91 and verse 16. Satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't have a person that I've ever met that did not want to be satisfied. You know, I want to be satisfied. In every area of my life, I want satisfaction. Your satisfaction is out there, but the key is salvation. And salvation is a way of life. It's not just a mere thing. He did way back then. It's salvation is a way of life. To be satisfied. And so God comes along and says, well, here's the deal. For long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. So that's a pretty good deal. Look at James 1 and verse 22, another area. James 1 and verse 21. Another type of salvation. down in verse 21. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness, as if we're dealing with the unmindedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, there's the word, to save your souls. This is why I call the salvation to receive his word. You know, it's not just a matter of one day you got interested in God until you started pursuing his word. No, even the ability to receive his word is a part of salvation. To receive it, to understand it, to apply it to your life. That's a part of the salvation process. So, salvation to receive his word is a gift that God has given us. Turn over to 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Let's look at another area. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. It says, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall or fail. This is what I would call the salvation of personal introspection. You know, to make sure your calling, to make your election, a calling sure. And here, it goes back to your calling, accepting that calling from God. But that personal the ability to even do that, I think, is a part of salvation. You look deep within yourself and realize, hey, this is not a pretty slight I'm looking at, that introspection. It's a critical period. It's something that we have to ask for. You know, God, give me the ability for salvation to look at my heart, to make my calling and election sure, to look at the man in the mirror, to accept these areas, to change what I need. It needs to be changed. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. I'm going to look at another concept of salvation. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. What a son gave in obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Notice that's the word again, you know, salvation to all them that obey him. Now, I know this sounds strange in this church. It's a certain statement, but maybe obedience was something that you didn't quite bargain for. I mean, sure, you had the thing that you were struggling with, that you needed to be saved from. But maybe obedience in the sense of all these other areas that would come up in your life, that God would show you that you didn't bargain for all these other areas. And I sometimes wonder why God doesn't show us all of it right up front. You know, all the areas that you mean, I want you to change this. I think if the Bible can't handle it, you know, it'd be too much to be overwhelming to see all of that up front. But again, the idea of just a part-time salvation, maybe to bear this cross, to endure this cross, was something that I didn't expect. You know, I was hoping that God would just deliver me from this. I just wouldn't really God to take it away. I didn't know I was going to have to endure this. So it comes down, which one do you want? Do you want God to deliver you from it or to endure what you're having to go through? Will it take, you know, my deal where it was take this away. That's what I want. You know. And I had a Ken Nix in a message he gave us recently. It was a very powerful one. He said, for so long he'd asked God to give him patience. And so the more he would ask, the more he would get into these trying situations, testing his patience. He would get, you know, more than patient. And someone would pull out the foot of him, someone would cut him off. He'd just call him more and more heavy. And he finally realized that, you know, the way he developed patience, that he tried in this area. But we should never look at that as we do to God. We say, well, Lord, give me this, or give me that, and help me build this part of my character. And God said, okay, here we go, let's try it out. We struggle with that, but on the other side of that coin is endurance. And let's turn to Matthew 10 and verse 22 for that. Matthew 10 and verse 22. Again, God's concept of salvation and our concept can be quite different from time to time, and it is getting in line with God's will is the thing that we must do. It says, and you shall be hated, that's Matthew 10, verse 22, and you shall be hated about me and my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Enduring to the end. So, ladies, I think, well, the salvation of deliverance or the salvation of endurance, which one do I want? Now, I like the salvation of deliverance, but the salvation of endurance is something I have a problem with from time to time. But there comes a point where we must accept the will of God to get in line with the will of God. The name of your salvation may be endurance. You know, and if I've been struggling with something, and I've asked God time and time again, Lord, take this away, and it's obvious by that time period that this is not the answer. He's not taking it away. Well, the other answer is endurance. You're going to have to endure this. And if you don't, you'd be amazed what happens when you accept that. Your faith, you accept what God's will is. And there it is. Let's look at one more scripture here. Actually, two more. Revelation 22, verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14. Again, even though the word salvation is not mentioned here, it's a type of salvation. A part of salvation. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. Here is what I call the salvation of the zeal. The salvation of the zeal for all of God's commandments. Notice it says, blessed are they to keep his commandments, plural, with an S on the end, not just one, but all of them. The salvation of zeal for all of God's commandments. And, I think sometimes we can, overemphasize the fourth commandment. And, although it's important as all the rest, but also we need to keep in mind that there are other 10 other commandments here. Besides just the Sabbath day. No, we're emphasizing something in one of the ways that we compensate. You're familiar with the term compensation, the psychological term that they use. It means when you overachieve in one area to make up for a burden in another area to compensate. And sometimes that can be what is going on. In fact, if I'm struggling with one of the 10 commandments, whichever one it is, I will compensate. I will, in my view, in my reasoning with you, I will overachieve in one area, try to make up for that ability that I'm lacking in. And it's something you have to realize about oneself, and realize that's not a good thing. In closing here, I think I'm getting ready to close here. The salvation of zeal for all of God's commandments is important. Closing Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Verse 11. The last scripture here, we'll turn to it. It says, for I know your thoughts, and I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end, that's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Notice what he says, look, and my thoughts toward you, says the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you the expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. Our original story here, closing, called The Secret of Life. So, as the Lord God is creating the world, he called his angels. And the Lord asked his angels to help him decide where to put the secret of life. Buried in the ground, one angel replied, through the bottom of the sea. Another said, high in the mountain. Another angel said, the Lord replied, O Lord, if I see to do any of those only secret of life must be accessible to everyone. For those who replied, well, I know who to predict, but they didn't each man's heart. Nobody would think to look there. Yes, so the Lord would eat within each man's heart, and so it was. The secret of life was within all of us. It was never God's intent for God for you to give him pieces of your heart. This little piece here, and this little problem I'm struggling with here, that was never God's intent. It's not a part-time salvation that we're after. God, if you have not followed you, give it the wings, it the wings, it. Give it your heart, your soul, your might, your mind.